All right, we're back here, and we're back here with a representative. And if you want to talk to her, you may do so, 395-1450. And she is, I can't tell you. Amanda Price, of course. All right, I should know after all this time.
Hey, you've got a cold, and I know what it feels like when you've got a cold.
Yes.
You're not thinking.
Not thinking too clearly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you with us this morning, and are things in Lansing, are they kind of on hold?
Well, today they're on hold. I think all the state buildings, I was just checking, are closed.
And, oh, smart.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks who commute in from all parts of the state, and so I got a phone call yesterday that the house was going to close down, and I had a text from the governor's staff today that they were had closed all the Lansing buildings. But I think outlying areas, the state services are still available.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, well, Happy New Year. At first, I haven't seen
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
I haven't seen you for a while. All right. All right. If you'd like to talk to the representative this morning, you may call us at 395-1450. And if you think she has the answers to some of your questions, feel free to call. The session begins again on Wednesday of this week, right?
Right.
Well, I hope it's all cleared away by that time.
I hope so, too. Now I think I understand how what some of our colleagues in the UP have to deal with probably on a weekly basis.
And, right.
This is treacherous weather. I've been out for a couple hours, and it's bad out there.
Okay. All right, we got SOS.
Oh, sorry. The state of the state. The governor's
state
announced.
Of the state. Okay.
Yeah, next Thursday.
That's SOS, too.
Yep. So next week, it came up pretty quickly because usually we get maybe 3 weeks' notice, and he just announced it last week. So that'll be we'll probably have a little bit of a session this week, but then we will go more heavily in next week. And
mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to share this year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would think he should be happy with the results of previous sessions.
I think so, yeah. I'm sure he'll have some of his priorities, maybe road funding and some other things that he'll still encourage us to look at. And,
yeah.
But I haven't heard what the plans are, and typically we don't know too much ahead of time what he's going to mention.
Well, did we leave anything over from last year that we have to get at?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Well, we did fail. The last day in session, I think we voted maybe 50, 60 bills. There's still several hundred that have to come through the process. So it was, end of the session, end of the year, but things have just taken a slight pause, and we'll continue moving forward.
Okay. 395-1450 is our number, by the way, if you'd like to talk to our guests this morning. Let's talk a little bit about the breast cancer, shall we?
Yeah. That was one of the bills that the governor signed at the end of the year. There was a two-bill package, so there will be a breast cancer license plate now, and that was I worked with Senator Glenn Anderson, who's a Democrat, and he and I worked in a bipartisan package so that his bill creates the license plate itself, and then the monies that are accumulated from the sale of the license plate will go into something called the Amanda's Fund.
Oh.
and I have to be honest, while it is named after me, it is not in the legislation. That fund already existed when Patty Burkholz was a state senator. She had introduced a tax checkoff bill that Governor Engler signed, and that created a Amanda's Fund, and that was well before I worked in the legislature or well before I worked for Patty. That fund continued in existence, and rather than create a new fund, they thought, well, let's just put the money there, and it goes for breast cancer detection and some cervical cancer detection, too.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line. Oh, I guess we lost them there. 395-1450, if you'd like to talk to Amanda this morning, our line is open. So the bill is not named after you.
No, it's just a breast cancer license plate bill, and so the fund was there, and
it's no respecter of persons at all.
Right.
All right, 395-1450 is our number if you'd like to call and talk to our guest this morning, and then we have electronic records and signature.
Right. This is a bill I've been working on for about a year and a half, well, now 2 years. And it came right from Ottawa County, from the
folks. Can I hold you up there for sure. Just a minute and take this call?
Yep.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to make a cancellation. Who do I talk to?
Call our office, please. 392-3121.
3121. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
So this bill came from Ottawa County. They've done such an excellent job of taking all their records that they have to maintain for all the courts and the registered deeds and the clerk's office and putting them all online. But they were having some problems with the way the state law was written that couldn't allow them legally to maintain those kinds of records, and especially couldn't maintain them with an electronic signature. So this legislation finally made its way through the process, and the governor signed it, and it will facilitate much more efficient, effective, and cost-effective government. Mm-hmm. And we have that already here, and so this will enable other counties and other local units of government to do something similar. So I'm very proud of it. You know, something you think is pretty easy can get caught up in a political back and forth sometimes. And so so this is a priority for the Supreme Court as well. And I'm very glad that it's done.
All right. And the year-end bills, medical marijuana. Yeah, we kind of got that up on all the other states that are starting it now. It's getting in the ballpark.
Right. And so this was, we passed that constitutional amendment that we'd have medical marijuana available. And I don't think anybody envisioned what actually took place once that was enacted. And so pushed back a little bit, and these bills now have a much stronger process in place and stronger oversight. Plus, they envision a time when the federal government does legalize marijuana, which it does not now.
Right.
And so there was two sets of bills around medical marijuana, the strengthening of the current process plus envisioning of the new possible federal expansion of the medical marijuana, if it ever comes to that. Now, I have to say I voted against both of these bills, or both sets of bills, and I'll tell you why. My family has a long history of alcoholism. One of my sisters mm-hmm. died of alcoholism, and so I understand the medical piece, that people do have pain associated with some chronic diseases, but I just couldn't vote
Warren,
that way.
Yes, you're on the line with our guest.
Wow, how you guys doing over there today?
Good.
Keeping warm?
Yes.
All right, that's cool.
Did you have a question for our guest?
Well, I got a question and a statement. I think she's doing a wonderful job at what she's doing. I just want to make that comment.
Okay.
And I was wondering if she's any relation to the prices in Burnham's.
Well, thank you very much for your compliment. I appreciate that. I am not. My husband's family was originally from the Pontiac area, and they since moved to the Lansing area. So most of his relatives are in that area.
Well, I knew a lot of prices from the Burnham's area. I used to work with a couple of them.
Well,
I always keep wondering if you were in relation to him.
Well,
I guess not.
Nope. But
all right. Well, okay.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You bet.
Yeah.
All right. 395-1450. Of course, the ideal thing on the marijuana is to let drugstores handle it. And
yeah, and that's what the future package would do is let it be a dispensed substance. So. Senator Kahn, who's a medical doctor, was the author of that side of the package, and I thought it had some good features to it. The other good feature about the medical marijuana piece, that's the dispensing piece that we already have in place, is that it will allow local governments to make that decision whether that they want it in their area, which I wasn't necessarily very strong in the previous version of what we had in place. So this strengthens that portion, and I appreciated that, but I just still could not support that. Just do not believe that medical marijuana should be that available.
The way the Michigan law is written, those who can dispense it is in question as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. And that has been tightened up in this new package of legislation.
Good morning. You're online with our guest. Okay, didn't hang on, I guess. 395-1450, our number. And our line is open if you'd like to give us a call this morning. Talk to our guest here this morning. And is the new bill on its way through?
Yeah, I believe so. It started, I'm trying to think of who the authors were. So Senator Kahn on the Senate side, and then some House folks were working on the other, the two phases of those bills. And so I believe they all came through. I don't know if we made any changes to the Senate bills that I just, I can't recollect that the governor signed them yet, but I can't say that they're completed either.
Okay. So. Good morning, online with our guest.
I don't have a question for your guest, but could you ask the people to, if they're out on the road, to turn their headlights on?
Good idea.
The road, and I just met five different vehicles without headlights on in about a zero visibility situation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, have a great day.
You bet.
I see you quite frequently.
All right.
I would agree with the caller, because as I've been driving around this morning, sometimes you just get to even an intersection.
I know.
And visibility is just zero.
Yeah.
And you have to be really careful out there.
You sure do. You sure do. All right. We're at 395-1450. If you have a question for the legislator this morning, be happy to take your questions. And let's talk a little about number 1.3 revenue.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Revenue increase.
When I give you my notes, I know what they mean, but you don't know what they mean.
I'm not sure what it means.
So there's been a recent notice from the Senate Fiscal Agency that we probably have maybe a $1.3 billion budget surplus over the next few fiscal years. And so there's going to be discussion about that. They'll have a revenue estimating conference this Friday. And so they'll talk about some of those numbers. I think the money from this year, about $433 million, is lapsed funds. So that's not necessarily excess revenue, but in terms of more money coming in, but money that wasn't spent. Looks like in the 13-14 fiscal year. So the fiscal year always starts October 1 and then goes forward. So it looks like there's a budget projected revenue estimate about $513 million. So there's some good discussions to have around that. Some folks are advocating that we need to do a tax cut, income tax cut. Some folks are saying that we need to do some one-time expenditures like we did in this year's budget for the roads.
Yeah.
And so we'll be having those discussions as the year goes forward.
Don't you think the road should be a continuing thing that we can get caught up somewhere along the way?
You would hope. I just, this discussion's been going on for at least two decades. you probably know it's probably been going on longer than that. but I just go down to Otto Beach Road often, and it is.
It's pretty bad, huh?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It is. It's potholed now, and spring hasn't even come.
It'll be worse. All right. Local Government Commission on...
Yeah, so this is an interesting thing. I chair the local government committee in the House, and last month the speaker took a tour of Detroit and met with several folks about the blight issue in Detroit.
Yeah.
And he asked me to hold a local government committee hearing in Detroit on this specific issue. And so we will be holding our hearing on Thursday afternoon in Detroit, looking for ways that the state government can help Detroit in particular, but lots of local units of government deal with this, because this is not Detroit specific. We've heard testimony in my committee over the months of Berrien Springs, Benton Harbor, Flint, Jackson, Ypsilanti. It just spreads across the state. And there are some state laws that could be change that would help facilitate cleaning up the blight, stop people from looting the houses out of the metal that's in them. And so we're going to be looking at that, hearing a lot of testimony from folks that are on the ground level dealing with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's Detroit has been more seriously impacted than probably any other community.
Yeah.
And they have now something called a blight authority, which is not a government entity so much as it is a nonprofit that Detroit has started, and they're going to take they put some really high-powered folks on that authority and going to seriously address the issues.
Okay. Time out for this.
Your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
Our guest is Amanda Price here this morning, and if you have a question for Amanda, you may call us at 395-1450. Our line is open. And did you get to go through Detroit at all?
Oh, yeah. I was just there a couple weeks ago, actually, touring some of the neighborhoods with Harvey Santana, who's a Democratic representative from the Detroit district. And I've been there several times over the last year, visiting schools, looking at blighted neighborhoods. My husband, who worked for the Reformed Church in America, they wanted to see what they could do there, so we took a tour in September as well. So it's devastating. I think that's the best word to use. There are just blocks and blocks and blocks where there may be one home standing. And it really comes back to you know, about a year and a half ago, we took testimony in local government. One of the Democratic representatives wanted to introduce a bill that said a neighborhood could assess itself for street plowing. And most of us on the committee were just staring at her saying, well, why would you do that? And then you come to find out, well, Detroit doesn't plow its streets.
Right.
And so when I visited in December, we got stuck in one neighborhood we were visiting because the streets hadn't been plowed.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. Say, I wanted to address this blight thing that you're talking about. One thing I want you to keep, and the Republicans that are in control of the House and Senate, keep in mind is that any blight laws that you pass, everybody else in the state gets to use the same hammer on people that are in local areas like Holland and this area here and any place else in the state. And you may have a big problem in Detroit, but we don't have that problem over here. And we don't need to be pounded on by local governments any more than we have already been pounded on. And I mean pounded on, and I don't like it. So you better be real careful about what you do. You have a response to that?
Well, I understand, yeah, because I come from local government here on the west side, and so I do. We have passed some legislation that applies to 8 cities in the state that have blight housing authorities, and they have taken another step to try to address their blight issues, and this is Detroit, obviously. I think Ypsilanti, Battle Creek, possibly Saginaw.
I don't have a problem with people that are stealing metal and stuff if you come down hammering them, because they're breaking the law, but I'm worried about property owners and you hammering on them. From what I understand, you passed a law recently that gives local governments the right to do darn things to people, like fining them and throwing them in jail and stuff, and I don't know if Snyder's passed that yet, but I hope he doesn't. But tell me about that.
I think that goes back to those 8 cities that had the blight authority or the housing authorities. So, and that is in place in those 8 cities, and those communities ask for something like that because they were having such difficult time. But
do you give those people the right to have a jury trial? I mean, let's say that I lived in Detroit, I have a house in Detroit, and I decide that the neighborhood's so bad I got to move out of here, so I'm trying to sell a thing. Do I get a jury trial before you throw me in jail and come after me and fine me, or not?
Well, you know, I can't apply the laws that we passed to this the sale of your home. There would be I think there are certain exemptions in the law that we passed that if a property owner who was the lived in that home would be able to retain possession of the home without being subject to further penalties if they could, within a certain period of time, fix up the home. I think they've got 5 years to fix it up, and then also get current on their property taxes.
Okay. Okay. Well, what is the name of this bill that you've passed or whatever? Has it been signed?
It has. I'd have to. I don't recall the numbers right off the top of my head. It was bills passed by Senator Virgil Smith from the Detroit area. And again, these only apply to the 8 cities that had these authorities in them.
And we are out of time. Thank you. Thank you very much for being our guest this
You're
morning
welcome.
Here on Talk of the Town.
Just stay safe and be warm. And
yes.
I hope you feel better soon.
Oh, I will.